Hallelujah. Thank you. You might be seated if you can. I tell you what, that's wonderful to see. I love science and I study quite a bit of that. And it's just amazing when the Lord gave that to Brother Phil, how great thou art. I think sometimes we just don't realize how big our God is. Such a blessing and an honor, as I've said for many, many years, to be a part of the conventions of Kenneth and Gloria. They so graciously has blessed us. And at the time I met them, which was years and years ago, I first met Gloria, then I met Brother Copeland. I think we went to lunch together in 1982 or 3, something like that. I can't remember now. And she had come and ministered in the New Orleans area. And I said, you know, if I ever get a chance to meet that man, I think we would get along very well. And we do. I mean, I've challenged him many, many times. Hallelujah. He's protected my life. And they hadn't told you half of the stuff I've done. We sure have had fun together. And that time I needed a friend. It really was just such a blessing of the Lord. Tonight I have the honor of receiving tonight's offering before we get into the Word. And I get so excited about offerings, not because it's a money thing, but because it's a God thing. I think of money in terms of I try to be as good of a business person as I can in my ministry or in my personal life, because I find so many people need things, and we'll be dealing a little bit with that tonight. But you know, they don't realize that if all of us came together and really pulled our monies together, we could touch the world in a day. And God said, when the gospel's preached to the world, the end shall come. That's in red. Think about that. And the only thing stopping us is money. Because, see, that's where Satan's power lies. Most ministers and most people don't have a problem with the devil. They didn't knock his brains out, come to healing, anything else. When it comes to money, they struggle. Because he controls the world through economy. And he even tried to pull that shenanigan with Jesus when he said, you know, you heard you a kingdom minded. I got a kingdom. I'll show it to you. It's got money in it. All you got to do is just bow down and worship me. Nobody got to know nothing. Just between ourselves. But he refused to do that because Jesus wasn't for sale. So if you got your Bibles real quickly, go with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6. The book of Galatians chapter 6. I want to read a verse of scripture, then we'll receive tonight's offering. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, that'll help you. You'd be surprised how many people don't read the Bible. It is amazing to me how many people, you know, I've had people come and say, you know, could you raise us some money, Brother Jesse? Church ought not be raising money, they ought to be giving money. We got into the business of raising money when we ought to be in the business of giving money. Because if we stay in the business of giving money instead of raising money, nothing wrong with raising money. I'm not being critical of that. But I mean, if you just gave it, you could spend a lot more time just worshiping the Lord. In my ministry, I've asked the Lord for every dollar given in my ministry to give me a soul into the kingdom. So when a donation comes to me, I think I immediately think of it as work, what I've got to produce, because the Lord has told someone to plant, which means I have the responsibility of making it grow. I honestly believe that. What I love about Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and I know the insides and outs of it, is what they can do with a dollar bill, how they do it. It's truly amazing. I don't believe I've been anywhere, and I'm not saying that lightly, anywhere, and I've been all over the world, that someone didn't come up to me and tell me that they were Brother or Sister Copeland's partner. Would you tell them I said hello? And it's just amazing to me. I mean, and it's just, well, it's phenomenal to see that. But so many people have to wait to be challenged to give. And that's really, I don't know why that is. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, I love it. It says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, one thing I know about Kenneth Copeland Ministries, they are a household of faith. It's amazing how many people have to be presented opportunities when they ought to be looking for opportunities. What me and Kathy do all the time is look for opportunities. One time we were driving to New Orleans East. We have the West Bank and the East Bank of New Orleans. And we were driving on New Orleans East, and this was several years ago. And some of you may know Pastor Charles Green was building a church or building some buildings. And at that time, I did not know Charles Green other than by his name. And as we drove by, I said, you know, Kathy, we need to get involved in that. And she said, let's do something about that. See, we were looking for opportunities to give. I call it philanthropy. How God anointed Jesus Christ and added with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. We misinterpret the word good. Kathy showed me that in the translation. He went about doing philanthropy. When you give to the work of the Lord, to any ministry, to anywhere, it is Christian philanthropy. Now, I find sometimes pastors get real worried and concerned about, you know, if some of their tithe might leave the church. Yet in the second Corinthians chapter 9, and I mean this, I believe, you know, you don't eat at Wendy's and pay at McDonald's. It's common sense. You need to be a blessing to your church. It's just common sense. But my point is, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let's do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. The Lord said, if we truly understood his word, we could disperse abroad and give to anyone we desired at any given time. Because it says, he was sow sparingly, shall reap also sparingly. He was sow bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Now, what part of that you don't understand? It's pretty simple. In fact, that verse don't have any faith in it at all. It just has action and reaction. He said, you know, and he says, I love the next, not the next verse, the verse after. And God is able to do what? What? How much? That you can, what? The last statement, abound to every good work. Now, I'll never forget during Hurricane Katrina when the Lord, we were the first actually corporate aircraft to land in New Orleans after Katrina. We had to get permission from the FAA and things of that nature so we could get in and help. And they didn't have electricity or anything of that nature, and, you know, things were pretty bad. But me and Kathy knew that some anointing had to be on the ground. We had to do whatever it takes. And we did. And it's just truly amazing how the Lord, in the worst of times, shows out at the best. And how people in the worst of times do their best. And I began to realize this. I said, you know, I was looking for opportunities to be a blessing. And I remember it seemed so overwhelming at times, because when you have children that have been on the top of a bridge for 5 days and their parents have lost it and the kid that's 7 years old is making the decisions because they hadn't eaten nothing. And I mean, it's really rough. Police shooting over your head and helicopters flying here and there. It's amazing. People walk around with guns and all of a sudden, it's like the end time. No food, nothing. They just kill you for a biscuit. And I never forget the Lord reprimanded me. And I said, boy, Lord, I just can't help everybody. He said, if you quit saying that, you could. I just heard it as plain as you heard me. And because it was so, I wanted to help everybody. You know what I mean? Because everybody needed help. He said, well, if you quit saying that, you could. So I said, forgive me. He said, you're forgiven, but don't ever say that again. He said, you just limited me. He said, and when you limit yourself, you limit me, because you see, we are God's hands. See, the heart of God is the Father. The face of God is the Son, Jesus. The voice of God is the Holy Ghost. But the hand of God is the church. He works through us. So Kathy, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, opened up what we call Covenant Compassion Center. And we decided this is to be a blessing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not an exaggerated statement. We met every need. Every need. Spiritually, physically, financially. In our area, every one of them, because I quit saying, you know, I can't help everybody. We met every need and had more. Oh, and we had leftover. There was a friend of ours that I didn't know real well. I called an acquaintance of ours that was in the lower ninth ward under a blue tarpaulin and preaching the gospel. And everybody just left. He just preaching the gospel. He just, you know, he had got down to his last bottle of water. Doing everything you could to help. He said, God, I need some help and I need it bad. And my trucks drove up. I said, we got some water and we got some money. Could y'all use that? Man just bust out crying. It was amazing how we've learned to immediately, when God tells us to do something, that we immediately give. And the reason for that, we don't want anyone to suffer. I find a lot of times when the body of Christ has to be talked into giving. God's already spoke to someone to meet someone's need, but they delay it. They keep delaying it. What you're doing is creating suffering for a person that they don't have to go through that, because God done met their need. He just met it through you. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You see, that's why when the Lord tells us to do something, I immediately immediately. I mean, I will call my staff if it's a ministry gift or if it's my own personal gift. I will immediately do it. Sometimes I've made Kathy mad. I might be driving the car and I'd say, listen, the Lord said, do this. I said, she says, okay, well, we'll do it after all. No, stop. Do what you, write the check now. We're going to the bank. We're going to put that. And she just, why? Because the minute God tells me to give something, it's no longer mine. And it cannot increase until it leaves my hands. And I don't want anyone to suffer 1 minute when God has used me to be the blessing of that person. Are y'all getting this? See, you immediately. And that's what I mean. So we look for opportunities. And God said, as we have therefore opportunity, you have an opportunity today to touch the world in places that you may never physically go. And it's through KCM, through Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They have offices just about everywhere. I don't think about just about every continent. It seems like they got an office somewhere going on. And they're preaching the gospel literally all over. And I know most of the staffs of those offices, and they're wonderful people. And it's just really amazing to me how God does those things. So when God speaks to you tonight, you must immediately do that. Because you will stop someone suffering immediately when you immediately give, because that is philanthropy. You're there to be a blessing. I'll never forget years ago, I preached for a good friend of mine named Walter Hallam there in Texas, in South Texas. And he asked me, and I've preached every year for him probably for 28, 30 years, I guess, something like that. Did his camp meeting, and there was a lady. I said, does anybody need some help here? I said, does anybody want to give something? This lady and this man walked up, and they didn't have much of nothing. They were sleeping in their car to come to that meeting. And they wanted to be a blessing, but she was embarrassed to come to the front because she didn't have a nice dress. Now, this is before everybody was going casual. Everybody just dressed up to the hilt all the time, you know. So I looked at her and I said, she said, and they had like, I don't know, $5 or $10 left, and they wanted to give that, and they don't know how they're going to get home. They lived in Mexico. They don't know how they're going to get to Mexico. They just gave their last, they wanted to give it, and they're just going to trust God and drive back home. And I said, what do you want? She said, oh. And she looked around. I said, go ahead, it's okay. And she said, oh, I'd just love to have a nice dress like some of these ladies have. And I said, well, I can do that. And her husband just looked, so I just reached in my pocket and I said, how much you pay for a dress? And, you know, I found out, you know, pay but anywhere from $8 to $10 at the most in Mexico. I said, oh, that ain't going to happen. Even at Walmart, you ain't getting one for that. Not in America. So I know I gave a few $100. I mean, everybody busted out crying. People began to give. I said, what is your total heart's desire? And they said it was to pay off their church. It was $15,000. Now, to them people, $15,000, like $15 million. I said, let's pay off our church tonight. Of course, Pastor Walter was just 100% agreement. Within a matter of, I guess, 50 seconds, over $16,000 was placed in their hands. Now, watch this. Now, they've been suffering. I said, now, y'all go home and go to that bank. So they walked in, and they said, and the bank was kind of pressuring. They had a note on their church, which wasn't very big to me. Would be a phenomenal thing to pay here in America, but there it was a lot. They said, we've come to pay off the church. They said, well, it's $15,000. She said, we know. And put their money on the counter. The banker liked to pass out. All of a sudden, in a matter of seconds, suffering ceased. Do you understand that? Now, that was an opportunity. That was just a blessing. But this ministry here stops a lot of suffering in the world. So we're going to shut down the devil tonight with an offering. Of all things. Now, some people say, oh, y'all just saying that to get money. No, we're not. I don't need your money. I ain't broke. I don't mean that pridefully. I'm just telling you something. But I tell you one thing. I know what money can do when it's placed in the right hands. And if you think there's a shortage of money, you just go to DFW. Go to Love Field and go on the private side and see how many jets are out there. Did y'all see what President Bill Clinton flew in today? We ought to pray for President Clinton. He did a phenomenal thing to go get those two girls out of North Korea. I thought that was a phenomenal thing. Put politics aside, buddy. And no ex-president, which puts your life in your hand from a crazy dictator. But he did it. Now, you think about that. And it really touched my heart when I saw those girls come out that plane. But I want to write MSNBC. And someone criticized that plane. So the guy that was on the Ed something show, I can't think of the name of that guy, he said, well, you know, you need a nice plane. You need a nice plane to fly across the Pacific. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. So all you people, next time I fly across the Pacific in my own plane, MSNBC says I need a nice plane.
I'm going to use that baby. That's on tape. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So next time somebody criticizes the preacher, excuse me, when you're flying across the Pacific, you need a nice plane. Are we ready to give today? If you're writing a check out, you make it out to KCM. You'll get a tax deductible receipt for your giving. If you're giving cash, you need an offering envelope. Ushers, if you begin to serve the people real quickly, you that are watching by internet all over the world, if you like to give, there's a place you can click on. And I hope all of you do, because I want to tell you something. It is fertile ground. I call it hundredfold ground. I have received so many times a hundredfold. And I'm not many times when I've given into a brother and sister Copeland's ministry. The blessings of the Lord. We're going to shut down some suffering. Now, you think about that. You're going to shut it down. It's truly amazing what an offering can do when it's placed in the right hands. So we ask you to do your best. And whatever that is, God will be satisfied and so will you. So I'm asking, if you need an offering envelope, lift your hand up. They'll pass them out to you. If you give also, you no longer carry cash or checks. You're one of these internet people, high finance. You give by debit, bank cards, financial cards. If you give in that manner, there's a place in that offering envelope that you can place that number. If you do, please seal the offering envelope so we can protect your identity and things of that nature, and God will help you in that situation. How many of you like to be debt-free? Why don't you just name your seed tonight debt-free? And don't have to wait 6 months, 6 years, 6 days. Just believe God. Say, wait a minute, I just named my seed. I preached that in 1992 at a Southwest Believers Convention. Naming your seed. Every time we do something, we name that seed. It's just such a blessing of the Lord. So we ask you to do your best. I tell you what, and I believe we'll go way over the budget tonight, over and above and beyond. Oh, Lord Jesus, and just shut down the suffering of hurting people. Whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. That's what happens when somebody gets saved. You shut down the suffering. They get born again, see? Well, it's the same thing with finance. That's what we use it for. So we ask you to do your best. Hold your offering up to the Lord. I want to pray over it, then we'll ask the ushers to receive it. Father, you see these wonderful gifts all over. I ask you, Lord, to move upon every individual that's watching, either through the internet or here in this great convention center, to give something. Because somebody needs something somewhere. The gospel must be preached. So, Lord, we ask you to bless these people, 30, 60, and 100 fold, every one of them, wherever they may be. Because I know this ministry, Lord. I know it very well. And they're not thieves. They do what you tell them to do. Very honorable in all their ways. I ask you, Lord, to bless each and every individual, either watching through the internet as well as being here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Ushers, go ahead and receive tonight's offering, and we'll believe God for the 30, 60, 100 fold. Could stand a good 100 fold? What's wrong with that? I tell you what, if people say that's greed, that ain't greed, that's Bible. That's Bible. God said you can do it. It's in red. My Lord Jesus, just receive what Jesus said. Go ahead and receive it. I'm going to come down there if you don't mind tonight and minister to you. You'll be blessed. My wife is here. Kathy, if you'll stand up, give my wife a hand clap. This is Kathy Buchanan. Hallelujah. Blessing of the Lord. I've been married to Kathy this year 39 years. Can you believe it? 39 years. I married her. She was 17 years old when I was 20. I know I look a lot older than her, but I'm just saying I was 20 years old. And I tell you, well, we do have a great marriage. And even as much as I talk about her, she still loves me. I told her she's really good. She's good material. But now she's preaching. And buddy, is she getting me back. And I certainly deserve it. I tell you what. She said, the only thing bad about Jesse, I try to cut his guts out. And he laugh about it. He think it's funny. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I don't have a problem with that at all. We also have I have one daughter, Jody. She's not here tonight. But her and her husband gave me finally, after all these years, I am a bona fide grandfather. It is just a blessing of the Lord. Now, I understand what Brother Copeland and Brother Jerry always said about grandbabies. Lord Jesus, it's just truly amazing. Whatever she wants, she gets. And when she sees me, she knows where it's at. He just does that. I say, that's it. The Lord, our God, I get her out of prison. I took her out of that nursery. I got her looking at paintings and chandeliers and all kinds. She just loves all that stuff. This baby is something, boy. It's truly a blessing. And I brought her some beautiful clothes the other day. I was in New York. I went shopping myself. I went to Neiman Marcus there in New York. Man, I said, put that there. The lady said, do you know how much that is? I said, you see me blinking? She said, no. I said, you make commission? Yeah. I said, put it on the table. Okay. And I just came back. And Jody, my daughter, said, did you buy me anything, Dad? And I said, well, if I knew your size, I would. But I didn't know. I don't know my daughter's size. I don't know. And it's kind of embarrassing sometimes. One time I wanted to buy something for Kathy. And without thinking, I said something kind of stupid. I said, she said, what size is your wife? I said, walk around this counter. Let me look at you. The lady said, you know, I said, well, I don't want to look at you like that, woman. Just trying to figure out, you're about the same size as my wife. She walked and I went, no, you're not the same size as my wife. She said, what does that mean? I said, don't ask. This is not the same size. Well, I mean, I was sticking both feet in my mouth at the same time. I didn't know what to do. Hallelujah. So I told Kathy, I said, give me Jody's size. I'm out of town. I like doing that stuff. I've always liked that. I used to shop with Jody when she was a baby. I'd bring home, remember, I used to bring home clothes, all that stuff. I like all that stuff. It's fun. But I'm really enjoying being a grandfather. I mean, that's truly a blessing of the Lord. So now I understand Jerry. I thought Jerry and them, they're kind of pushing this still over the top. It can't be that good. It is. You know why God gives you grandchildren? It's a reward for not killing your kids. It's a blessing of God. We give you a grandkid. You did good, boy. It's just a blessing. But their grandkids, you got to spend at least a grand on them. That's two. That's another thing. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We'll be going to several scripture tonight. Philippians chapter 4, then we're going to go to Psalms 37, and then we're going to go to Psalms 34. We'll be reading here in just a minute in Philippians chapter 4 out of the King James Version Bible. I had several people ask me if I would re-preach the sermon that I preached at the West Coast Believers Convention on my night, and it's a good sermon, but you can get it off of Brother Copeland's people and stuff, but I just felt led the Lord to do something a little different, if that's okay. And it was amazing that Brother Phil was talking about this great God that's created so many wonderful things. And yet we sweat so much about our little lives. I don't know how many churches I've been in now in 31 years of full-time ministry. I think about 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe longer than that, I preached in a 1,000 different church. I'm preaching almost every day somewhere in a different place. And God has been good and gracious as far as scheduling is concerned. I've always been amazed at how much need there's in the body of Christ. I mean, there's just a bunch of need. I don't think I've ever been to a church that didn't have need. And I thought, why are they having need? So I'm going to do a little preaching tonight, which is proclaiming, a little teaching tonight, which is explaining. I'll have to get them all mixed up, but when we get to the end, I think you'll understand it. And I was amazed being born. I was born in the roughest borough of New Orleans called Algiers, Louisiana, on the West Bank. And my mother used to say, boy, I wouldn't want you crossing that river, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that river is really, it's amazing how it separates New Orleans, West Bank, East Bank, things of that nature. And so we were christened and confirmed Catholic. That's just the way it was. And because we don't have counties, and we're the only state in the United States that don't have counties, we have parishes. And I really like the Catholic Church, and I have been, royally criticized for that. But the reason why I like them, because they're the only ones that came and preached to us. The Protestants wouldn't come. They just wouldn't come. I mean, this is years and years and years ago. And because Catholicism came to southern Louisiana, it became parishes, you know, the diocese, parishes. And then, of course, the government began to take over. And finally, the Protestants began to come. But at that time, you couldn't find a Baptist to save your soul or anybody else. Then finally, they began to come. And I love the philanthropy of the Catholic Church. Some of the things that they do is just amazing. Now, I'm not saying I agree with everything that doctrinally, but I'm just saying some of the things they do is just truly amazing. Now, I have preached. I'm probably maybe the only minister in the state of Louisiana that'll be asked by the Archdiocese of the Roman Catholic Church to preach in their churches. And I have preached in many of our Catholic churches and Jewish synagogues and then Baptist and Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith, Full Gospel, Assemblies of God, Church of God of Christ, and Prophecy. So I can get black on you real quick. I know how to do that. Yeah, Lord, Lord. Well, yeah. I can hoop too, son. I ain't as good as Creflo, but hey, I ain't the same color. But I'm getting close, Creflo. I'm getting close. One time I slept at Creflo's house in his bed. He said he would leave. He said, man, just use my... I just sat there. I said, Lord Jesus. And I went, ha, la, la. Hey. It was nice, man. Nice. And, you know, so when we went to church, we went to Mass. We were not given a Bible. We were given a missal. That's not a rocket. That's a book. Anybody here been Catholic at least once? Not too many people in Texas, you know, a few. And you got a rosary. So you can say the Our Father and you can say the Hail Marys. You know, so you can, you know, you try to, because you got those things for penance and things of that nature. And we knew certain prayers, and the priest would say something, and we would come back and say something. How many people know what I'm talking about? Going back and forth. And one of the greatest prayers I think ever penned is the Apostles' Creed. You want to read a phenomenal prayer, you read the Apostles' Creed. It is an amazing prayer. Well, you know, after I got born again, I remember this, that the people would say, God will meet your need, but not all of it. I mean, don't get crazy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you ain't going to meet all of it. When we became Protestant, you know, we started going into Protestant churches, people said, God will meet your need, but just don't expect much of it. And then I began to realize this was caused so much need when this God who, like he said, he flung the stars in your hand, he measured it with a span, he weighed the waters and the land, and just amazing. And they said, well, you know, you just can't expect all that. Well, what does the Word of God say about that? Because we've been given so much preaching opinion instead of what Jesus has said. You see what I'm saying? So, and I preached this not long ago, and I want to preach it again. The title of this sermon is, What You Need? What do you need? Let's go to another level. What do you desire? Oh, you can't get your desires. That's greed. Could be growth. Uh-oh. And I'll deal with that when I get to that. Oh, that's got to be greed. Could be growth. And then getting to the God level, what do you want? Is it possible that we can get all our needs, all our desires, all our wants? Let's find out. I mean, you know, if God says it, then it must be. Whether you ever receive it or not, it doesn't change. It's what he said. And yet I've never been to a church, and all these churches that I've preached in over the years, you know, not all, that's an all conclusive statement, but most of them would say, you know, you just can't expect God to do everything. Well, why can't you? I mean, well, why can't you? You see, if you're a true father, your children expect you to do everything. You want a good sermon you guys can preach on is on the prodigal son. You got to understand about this. You know, that man had two good sons. Both them boys were good sons, but they wasn't good brothers. You want to preach on something, look at it that way. They were good sons, buddy. Both of them. But they were not good brothers. And I used to be kind of prejudiced against the elder son. But then I found out, that boy worked hard for your daddy. You see, one thought he could live without his father, and the other one wanted his father to be a respectable person. And what he didn't know, the elder son was actually worth way more than the younger son, because he said, you got everything I got belong to you. Everything. So they were good sons, but they were not good brothers. And there's a statement in the Bible, am I my brother's keeper? And you can find out that he wasn't a good brother, because even the elder son, your son came, your son, he didn't call him his brother. Come on. See, I realize whether I agree doctrinally with some people in the Christian faith, they are my brother. And am I my brother's keeper? Well, if that means what it says what it means, then I must be a blessing to them. You see what I'm saying? So that's why I don't struggle with denominational, non-denominational, or interdenominational. Now, they may be a strange brother, but they're still a brother. But God calls them sons. You see that? So both those boys were good sons, but they were not good brothers. See? And that was the problem at all times. And he said again, one thought he could live without the father, so he go do what he got to do. The other one thought, no, because I've served you, you have to be a respected person. You got to bless me more than bless him. And God's not a respecter of person. That's why he killed the fatted calf of the younger son. But that's another sermon. But I'm just saying, it will help you to understand that if we can all just come together in the unity of the faith, they say the unity of doctrine. I mean, Baptists are going to believe once saved, always saved, whether you Protestants, whether you Pentecostals like it or not. You're going to believe in speaking in tongues. I don't get it whether they like it or not. But you can come on common ground, and his name is Jesus. It's like some people say, I'll never speak in tongues. I said, well, you never will, so don't worry about it. What are you concerned? Are you nervous that he might just jump on you by accident? Because you keep telling him, I never. Well, you must be. Maybe you're getting close to it. It's like one man said, I don't believe in healing. I said, you hadn't got sick enough yet. You hadn't been told you only got a few months to live. You better get your house in order. Boy, and it's amazing how many people believe in healing all of a sudden. Look for people that they normally wouldn't talk to before. Are you at Philippians chapter 4 yet? What I love about the scripture more than anything else is God shows us great strengths of these people, but he also shows us their weaknesses. Because, see, he makes them normal. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 says, now you Philippians know. Go ahead, man. You scared the black off of me right there, Lord Jesus. I forgot. I told you to remind me for them crazy people up there in that balcony. Oh, gee. Did y'all see me do that? Whoa. Boy, I tell you, I thought I had to go to the bathroom. We'd have had a problem right here. Son, help me, Jesus. Did y'all know God makes golden camels? I love what Lindsay said. She said, how you know you wasn't there? I said, get down with your bad self, Lindsay. Yeah, how you know you wasn't there? Maybe I got a revelation. Glory to God. So we would get to heaven, we see some golden camels, we're going to go, she was right. There you go, girl. I like it. Go, girl. Go, girl. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. He preached in a lot of churches. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, notice what he says. Not that I, because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, I ain't looking for your money. But what I'm telling you, if you bless this ministry, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, the Apostle Paul was a phenomenal individual, but he had a problem with money. His weakness was money. He was very nervous about it. Abraham had a problem, and once why he lied. He almost lost his wife over it. He couldn't believe they could have a baby, so the Lord didn't talk to him for 13 or 14 years. Till he's an old man. And all of a sudden God said, nah, I can talk to you because you can't argue with me no more because it's over. You see, so what I love about that is God showing not only the great strengths of these wonderful people in the scripture, in holy canon, but they're also the weaknesses, which helps us to kind of see where we are. And Paul had a problem with money because every time somebody tried to bless him, he said, listen, I work with my own hands. I make tents. I take care of everything. And every time somebody gave him a nice offering, he said, get a bunch of people with me. I don't want nobody to think I'm stealing this money. So he struggled in some areas financially. But this is the only time in the Apostle Paul's called flesh life that he says this in the next verse, verse 18. He said, but I have all. My Lord Jesus, he come up there. And abound. That's even better. And I am full. Now, how did he get all? How did he abound? And how did he get full? Having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So when he learned to receive, he got all, he abound, and he got full. See, it's okay to be a receiver, but you should never be a taker. You can tell the difference immediately. If you're a taker and people take you, your seed won't function in a taker's hand, but it will function in a receiver's hand. So notice when he learned to receive without trying to make an excuse for it, God said he got full, he abounded, and he had all. That's the only time in all of his writings that you hear that. Then he tells them how wonderful it is. Then verse 19 is an amazing verse of scripture. The title of this message is, what do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? He said, but my God. Now, notice he didn't say a God, some God, the Christian God, the person I met on the Damascus Road. He said, my God. I don't want to let y'all know. My God. Personal. Mine. Not a God. You never know. No, my God. Shall supply all your need. Not some of it. All. According to his riches. I love that. In glory, not in Christ Jesus, but by Christ Jesus. Now, did you notice he didn't pray about that? He put God on notice without even praying about it, because he knew God's nature. He had more than relationship, he had fellowship. And when they blessed him, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He didn't pray about it. He didn't ask God, should you do this? He said, let me just tell you what my God will do. My God shall supply all your need. Didn't even pray about it. Didn't put God on notice. Is that your will? See, when you understand God as your God, not a God, not a Baptist God or a Methodist God, okay, my God. Oh, then you know their nature. I find that the longer you're married, you don't even have to talk to your wife. You just know. You can communicate by just looking at each other. How many people know what I'm talking about? You can talk to each other just with a look. Because you know what's happening. Because you know each other. Not just know about each other. You begin to truly know each other. What do you need? Now write this down if you're taking notes. The emphasis is upon the word all, not a portion. See, the church world for centuries had preached God to give you a portion. Not even much of that, but he gave you some, but you're going to have to suffer, so you can understand what it means to need. Why do we have need? We shouldn't have no need. None whatsoever at all, if God is what he says he is. And then when someone blesses you, can you say, without praying about it or asking, let me tell you what my God going to do. He going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Are you prophesying? No, I'm just repeating what God said. See, the emphasis is on the word all, not a portion. You see, when I told the devil, if you ever touch any of my stuff, especially during Katrina, if you think you're going to only give me insurance money, you're living in a dream world, sucker. You're going to pay me 7 times, and I'm going to get your furniture in your house at the same time. I said, I'm going to make you homeless. You understand what I'm saying? And he didn't touch any of my stuff, because I'm just not interested in insurance money. You see what I'm saying? I serve a Jewish God. You're going to pay me. You are going to pay me. I deserve it. Oh, that's arrogance, cocky. No, that's the Bible. Let me tell all of you that just gave. Let me just tell you what God, my God, will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I ain't got to pray about it because I know what he'll do. But can you receive it? Can you receive it? That's the whole key. Oh, people say, yeah, no, you can receive a little bit. I'm talking about when God starts blowing big stuff at you. I mean big stuff. Yeah, everybody can receive a sandwich and a dinner. But when he starts putting the big stuff, because then here comes the persecution. Here comes the world going, I don't think you ought to have that. Well, yeah, I didn't ask nobody. You see what I'm saying? My God. Mine. So the emphasis is on the word all, not a portion. Yet the church world for centuries had preached the portion. You can get a portion of it. But he said all of it. You know, in the 3 planes that I've owned, and Brett Copeland helped me on that first plane so graciously, because I didn't know nothing about planes. And I wanted to ask how much it cost, what it cost to run that thing. I had no idea. You know, when you jump from a car to a plane, that's a major difference. You understand? And that's a major difference. And I never forget what the Lord told me. He said, you will never have to worry about any expense on that plane whatsoever at all. And everyone I've ever had, people say, how much it costs to run it? I don't really know. Just the other day, I got an analysis. I said, help me. How much money I would save? What is it? I don't even know, because, see, my God. Some people get mad at me about that plane. I just fly over their house. Now, I'm not being cocky and arrogant. Man, I'm on a mission from God. When you go to Australia, why don't you take Delta? Because MSNBC says. MSNBC says you need a good plane across the Pacific Ocean. Yes. What do you need? Well, the emphasis is not on the word portion, it's on the word all. So I expect God to meet all my need. About 2 or 3 years ago, I was preaching in a very large church. There was about, I think, 18,000 people there. And this brother, the pastor, was a very nice man. Maybe a little longer than 3 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. Make a long story short. He said, everybody have a need, stand to your feet. Well, you know, I was getting my Bible. I was about ready to receive the pulpit to minister the word. And you know, so I'm getting my mom and stuff like that. Like, and everybody stood up and he prayed and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Brother Jesse Plants." I came up. Well, at the close of the meeting, we went back to his office, had a little refreshment. He said, "Brother Jesse, I hope I didn't embarrass you." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "I asked everybody to stand up. They had a need, and I noticed you didn't stand up because, you know, I noticed you was getting your Bible and everything." I said, "No, I heard what you said." He said, "Everybody have a need, stand up. That's what you said, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't have no needs." He looked at me, and he knew he think. I mean, you can tell when people think you're lying. Some of y'all think these stories I tell are lies. I can tell, and you go, "Well, just follow me. Just follow me. You'll see what will happen here." So I said, "I heard what you said. You said everybody had needs, stand up." I said, "I don't need." And he looked at me with like, he's lying. And then he said this, "You know, I get your magazine." I said, "Well, that's wonderful." Now, at that time, I was believing God for that intercontinental jet many of you people gave to it. He said, "Well, Brother Jesse, aren't you believing for that intercontinental jet?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "100%. He said, "Is that a need?" I said, "It certainly is, but it ain't my need." I said, "Don't give me God's needs. Uh-uh, that's God's need. Ain't mine. You ask whoever got need, that's me. That's God's need. You understand? That ain't mine." See, when you're trying to meet God's need, you never will. You're not big enough or good enough to meet God's need, so don't take it on. Because you're going to delay what you're believing for. You get in God's way. Trying to be a blessing to you, and you just get in these ways. I said, "That's not my need. Uh-uh. None of that." I've said it so many times. One time, I don't know if Brother Copeland remember this, he asked me, he said, "What do you do when you get those big television bills?" I said, "That's easy. Jesus, you got mail. It's yours. It's in the millions of dollars. I mean, you got mail. That's not my need." She said, "Do you worry about it?" "No." "Why? Because you don't have enough money. You know what I do? Go off. My reputation not on the line. I'm doing this because God told me to do this." You understand what I'm saying? Jesse, go home. I could do other things. You see what I'm saying? But you know what? I don't struggle. He said, "I appreciate you. You don't get involved in my business concerning child. You and I, God, in 31 years of full-time ministry, ladies and gentlemen, I have never had a financial deficit." Now, people say, "How do you do that?" I don't get in God's business. I just say, "Excuse me, we need $5 million here. This is your bill. Now, if you don't want to get these kind of bills, then don't tell me to do this." Does that make any sense to anybody? See, when you start getting in God, you're going to mess up. "Oh, Jesus. See, you're going to try. Oh, I got to raise this. Now, I'm not dumb. I understand it has to be paid." But a lot of times I say, "I'm going to tell you something, God. They wouldn't take your signature, but they took mine. I had to sign that contract for you. Do we need to talk about this anymore?" That sounds arrogant and cocky. No, no, no. My God. My God. Oh, Lord. We have great fun together. We enjoy each other. What do you mean? So the emphasis on that scripture is upon the word all, not a portion. Now, watch this verse of scripture here. I could preach 3 hours on this next point. This scripture not only implies God's ability to meet your need, but his willingness to meet your need and his obligation to do so. Let me say it again. This scripture here, Philippians 4:19, is not only applies God's ability to do it because he can meet all you need, but his willingness to do it and his obligation to do it. He's willing to do it. He has the ability to do it and he's obligated to it. He has to. He cannot change his word. He says, "My covenant will I not break." Psalms 89:34. "Nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips." You can't alter what God says because God is his word. So he has the ability to do it, he has the willingness to do it, and he's under obligation to do it. People think you're cocky, arrogant, and pompous when you say that. No, that's what the word says. So when God tells me to do something, I said, "You said you would meet all my need." He said, "That's right." He said, "Yes, I got the ability. I got the willingness, and I'm under obligation to do so." When I took Kathy as my wife, when he said, "Do you take this woman be your lawful wedded wife?" I made a covenant relationship on a holy altar of God at Holy Rosary Catholic Church, me and her, with a bunch of witnesses. Said, "Woman, I will take care of you. I have done that." Why? First thing, I have the ability to do it. I have the willingness to do it, and I'm obligated to do it. You see, that's why your wife, when you're not doing right, "You a man? Are you a man? Didn't you say?" And your children think exactly the same.
But if you don't have the ability to receive, you can cause suffering on yourself. I'm not talking about taking. I'm talking about my Lord receiving so you can have all, abound, and be full. What do you need? Not a portion. Don't get excited if you get a portion because it's not all. You want to get to the point that need has, tell you the truth, it ain't got anything to do with need. I bought something for Catherine the other day. She said, I don't need this. I said, this ain't got anything to do with need, woman. The Bible said God give you all things to richly enjoy. That's what he said. This ain't got anything to do with need. Oh, that's got to be greed. Could be growth. I'll deal with that in a few minutes. See, most people don't know the difference between greed or growth. You see, so what do you need? He said, my God. He didn't even have to pray about it. So when I tell you what my God will do, when I tell people God will save you, man, I ain't blinking. I mean, not good English, but it makes good sense. When I say God's going to help you, he will do it if you'll believe it, if you can receive it. And how many times I've wanted to help, but people wouldn't receive. Because in their mind, they thought, or the devil made them think, they said that to get my attention so I could do that. Prime example, that was my daughter when they bought their first house. Me and Kathy wanted to get a housewarming gift. Now, you know, when a kid go borrow money, they bought a new house and a new car. They were stretched out pretty strong. They didn't ask me. They said they want to do this on their own. Go ahead. That's fine. Bought their first house. So me and Kathy, you know, we went over there. Some of you have heard me say this. I went over there and so I'm just kind of looking around. So, you know, Gloria said, I can buy them something for their house. You know, it's just exciting, you know, new home. And Jody said, Daddy, you like the house? I said, I love it, Jody. That's just several years ago. I said, this is a beautiful place, man. The Lord truly has blessed. Yeah, we think so, Dad. It's just such a blessing. So we were talking that few minutes and she opens up this Architectural Digest magazine. She said, Dad, I want to show you something. And she said, you see this rug? It's one of them runners, one of those Persian rug runners. She said, we want to get a rug for the den here and a runner, you know, for the hallway right there. Now, man, immediately I went, man. So I just looked at Kathy. We didn't say a word, but we know each other. She went, I said, I got this, baby. And now we got a good housewarming. She said, but these things are expensive, Dad. We can't afford that right now. I looked at her. I said, Jody, me and your mama want to buy all that. Why don't you just go ahead and order it? And whatever it takes, just let me know. Mama cut you a check or whatever. Oh, you know, however they want to do it. She goes, oh, no, Daddy, you can't do that. Daddy, I didn't show you that for you to buy that for me, Daddy. You can't do that. I said, okay. I didn't do it. A few minutes later, I got my car and went home. She didn't ask me for the rug. But see, the devil done told her that I thought she said that so I would buy it. She don't know what I think. Well, a couple of 2 or 3 months later, I didn't buy that rug. I stopped by her house. I was on the way to the airport, and I stopped. I said, hey, Jody. I said, are you ever going to put any curtains in this house? You know, people put sheets on the windows. You know, when you ain't got no money, you put sheets. How many of y'all have put sheets on the window? You know, then you do whatever you can, you know. This is years ago. Sheets, man. Whatever it takes to cut and cover the window. She said, well, Daddy, drapes and curtains cost a lot of money. Window treatments, I think that's what she called it. I said, really? Yeah. She said, Dad, I mean, that costs a lot of money. I said, Jody, why don't you just call Mr. Signorelli? He's a man in the drapery business there in New Orleans. I said, just go pick your fabrics and all the different things that you want and just do every one of your windows and all that. And just send me and your mama the bill. We'll take care of that. I'm still trying to buy her a house gift. Oh, no, Daddy. You know how much one window costs? I can't let you do that, Daddy. I said, okay. I walked out the house, got in the car and flew out. Another 2 or 3 months passed. Watch this. Another 2 or 3 months passed. What do you need? She just can't believe that you could get all of it. Maybe a portion, but not all of it. Maybe if I'd have said, I'll just buy the runner and then y'all on your own for the rest of the thing. Well, she called Kathy while I was flying in. She said, Mom, me and Eddie won't take you and Daddy out to dinner tonight. And tell Dad I'm buying. I said, no, the kids ain't buying. I'm the one. She's my child. I'm buying. I'll buy for them. And she said, no, tell Daddy he ain't buying. We are going to buy. We all can eat any way y'all want. We want to buy you and Mom a gift. And Kathy said, well, your dad ain't got in yet. If he's not too tired, when he gets in, I'll call you. So sure enough, I got in. She said, Kathy said, Eddie and Jody want to take you out. Take us out dinner. You want to go? I said, yeah, that's fine. She's not too tired. I said, no, that's all right. She said, so she called Jody and Jody said, Dad, we're going to pick y'all up in our car. So you won't have to drive over. I said, okay. So we get in the car. Now, they had bought a new car at the same time they bought the house. So between the mortgage note and the car note, them kids are stretched. Watch this. So I had never sat in that car before. I've seen it. It was a beautiful car. I think it was one of them Infinities or something. I don't know. Nice car. So I'm sitting in the back seat. I said, boy, Jody, Eddie, this is a nice car. You really like it, Dad?
And they say, we're never going to buy another car. You know, when you get your first new car, you're never going to buy another one. That's a dumb statement, but you know how that is. You know, everybody, you're all excited. You know? I said, well, I'll tell you what, Joe, this is a nice car. And Eddie calls me Mr. Jesse. He said, you like it, Mr. Jesse? I said, I want to tell you something, Eddie. Y'all picked a nice, this is a nice car. I said, Kathy, this is a nice car? Yeah, it is. So we just driving, you know, just driving along, you know, and going to a place where I like to eat and all that kind of stuff. We stop at a red light. I said, Joe, Ed, did y'all mortgage this car? Oh, yeah, Daddy, we financed the car. We ain't like you and Mama. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, I was just looking like that. I said, really? Yeah. I said, well, who owns the note on this car? And we were at the red light. She said, well, that bank right there, that's the bank that owns it. You know. Oh, so you did it through the bank, yeah. So sitting there. I said, Jody. I said, Eddie, when the light turned green, why don't you drive over to the bank and I'll pay off this car for you? Jody said, let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Let the Lord lead. Hey, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Come on, Jesus. You see, they finally, after months and months, I'm trying to be a blessing, but they wouldn't let me. So in a matter of, I don't know, 5 minutes or less, they got the title to the cards paid off. Jody says, Dad, is that rug and curtain deal still out there? I said, Jody, Eddie, that money has been sitting in a bank all these months waiting for you to receive it. Your daddy shall supply. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Write this down. Not only does God meet your need, he supplies the whole extent of your need. Let me explain that. What do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? Title of this simple message. Watch this. Not a portion. All of it. All of it. Watch this. He not only supplies your need, he supplies the whole extent of it. Let me explain that. Sometimes you think it costs this much money for your need, but you don't know the whole thing. I just purchased a phenomenal generator for our ministry. Because, you know, if you lose electricity, like, it don't make no difference now about hurricanes and stuff. So I'm up and running. I mean, this thing, look at the size of an 18-wheeler truck. That thing is huge. It's a 500 kW. I mean, that thing, I mean, it's amazing. Well, it's $350,000 for that generator to run our ministry. It takes a lot. You know, we have television studios. You got all that stuff. You talk, this burns a lot of electricity. Well, you know, I'm a Jewish God. I said, let's negotiate. We'll do what we got to do. We'll make them an offer. I do business here. Well, I got that thing from $350,000 down to $218,000. I said, somebody going to take this cash. Is it you? Cash is king. Oh, yeah. See, but what they didn't tell me, and I told Covenant Church, which is the local outreach of our ministry, I said, we're going to get this generated. But they didn't tell me that the transfer switch, Greflo, was $50,000 more. Just the transfer switch. To switch it from the electricity over to the generator, you got to work that out with the energy companies. And then $17,000 to hook it up and put it in. So now that's $67,000 more than $218,000. But in my mind, I thought the whole ball of wax was done for $218,000. I said, what, the transfer switch, how much it cost? $50,000. The Lord said, I got it. See, not only did he meet the need, he met the whole extent of the need. You see, I did not know how much it was going to cost me. These things came up by surprise, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term. Maybe I should have researched it more, but I didn't put those two and two together to come up four. But you know God took care of that. Why? Because he meets all. And not on the whole extent of your need. What do you need? So it's amazing to me how many people are in need when they don't need to be. When God's trying to be a blessing to people. And yet, my Lord, and I'll be dealing with that tomorrow when I preach, the traditions of men shuts you down, makes you think you're greedy. When God is trying just to help you and bless you. So I look for opportunity. Now, when I say that, I get all kind of letters. Well, since you're looking for an opportunity, let me show you one. I didn't say I was looking your way. In other words, would you give me the honor of at least allow God to speak to me about it? You understand? Promise. If God tells me to do something, I'll do something. That's not the issue. So what do you need? And yet Paul says, My God. Now, me and Jesus have a good time. I call him Jesus. He called me Jesse. We're good friends. I'll just tell you something else that happened real quickly, then I'll go on to this next point. I love motorcycles, you know. I'm not what I call a great motorcycle rider. Dennis Burke is. He's a great motorcycle rider. Brother Copeland, Jerry Bowen. But me, I like motorcycles. I've always, because I don't have hobbies. I work all the time. So Kathy said, you need something. She bought me these beautiful golf clubs. Ping clubs. Really expensive. So, man, I used them 3 days. I gave them away. They were sending me to hell. I ain't lying, son. I said, you ain't relaxing on this golf course. Ain't nobody speaking in tongues out here. People cussing up a storm out here, son. I go, no, I can't play this game. No, no. Now, y'all can play it, but not Jesse. No, no. Man, and she even got me 6 lessons from a pro. I gave him the club. I gave him shoes, everything. I said, what size shoe you wear? Same size. I said, brand new. Here, yours. I ain't going to hell over some golf club. Now, you might like them. I said, that ain't for me. Now, motorcycle, whole nother ball game. Now, I've had a lot of motorcycles. Lots of them. I've dropped a bunch of them. You've heard the stories. I've almost done things that are just crazy. What do you mean for John Copeland one time? Me and Kathy went swimming at 12,000 feet in the lake. Remember that, Dennis? He said, I wanted to ride in the back so I could see and let them tell me what's going up in the front. That's what's good about riding these people. If you're on a road and they got a loose gravel, they'll say, I got some loose gravel, watch it. So if you're in the back there, well, yeah, you can look at the mountains more. And I forgot to turn, and John Coleman said, where was Jesse going? Lord Jesus, when I look, bam, I hit the brakes. I come this close. I'm talking freezing cold water. But out of all of them, I had a funnel. That's all I'm going to say. Remember that, Gloria? I did have a funnel. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, so I like motorcycles. So I have I like them so much that I built a building that's temperature controlled for them. Now, you can say what you want. That's my motorcycle. And I'll get home this weekend, and I got to leave again, but I'll just go in and say, Daddy, home. Now, watch this. So I'm in there, boy, and I'm shining up these motorcycles, and I'm just looking at this thing. Nobody's in there now. You understand? They can't hear me. It's all air-conditioned, and sensory. It's heated and everything. It's got everything. So I'm shining up my motorcycle and all this kind of stuff. And I say this out loud. Nobody hears me. And I'm rubbing down this 100-year anniversary Road King Classic. Just oh, Jesus. And it just speaks in tongues. I just turn it on. Then I turn on my Honda, and it interprets. Because it's real quiet. You know, just it's listening for the interpretation. But boy, it's my motorcycle. It's my story. I tell it the way I want to tell it. Okay? So I say this out loud. I got it to myself now, because I talk to myself quite often. I've had some of the greatest conversations with myself. I like to talk to an intelligent person once in a while. It's kind of nice. You know, I don't argue with myself. Sometimes I suggest it. What did the word say? Oh, yeah. I got to go see what the word said. So I talk to myself. So make a long story short, I said this. I got to get me one of them Screaming Eagle Fat Boys. Just one of them Screaming Eagle Fat Boys. I mean, that bike a snap heads, boy. I mean, it's a bad looking motorcycle. That's all I said. Well, I took the motorcycle out and I picked Kathy and we drove around. We drove down the river and went to the plantation home, had a little breakfast and dinner, just enjoying ourselves, coming back real nice. Watch this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to make a long story short, you come to my ministry, and without sounding prideful or arrogant, it's not easy to talk to me. Not that I'm some big shot, just the way it is. You come in there, you're going to get hit with security. Who are you? What do you want? That. And then next thing, you'll go to reception. From receptions, you'll go to a secretary. From a secretary, you'll go to either a supervisor or assistant supervisor to a director. From a director to an executive director. From an executive director to an executive secretary. From an executive secretary to an administrator. From an administrator to me. I mean, I just kind of feel I'm in the mob, you know. They just watch over me, you know. You're like, I'm the boss. I'm the boss of the bosses. The copper to copper. You understand? That's the way it is. So a lot of people work with me. I don't even know their names. Okay? I never talk to my receptionist. Never. Not that she's a nice person. Just never do. Well, I'm sitting in my office, and the receptionist button hits. She says, Brother Jesse, would you please come to the foyer? And that's never happened, because normally they're going to go through that secretary. We really follow the chain of command. I said, what happened to Mary? Where's Mary? Where's my executive secretary? So, make a long story short, I said, yeah, I'll do that. So, I come walking to the front, and it's a beautiful, it's all plantation antebellum with big white columns and all kinds of winding staircase and all that kind of stuff. So, I come in, I come up on the balcony, I look down and said, what do you want, sweetheart? She said, would you mind going outside? I look at her. She said, listen, my judge, I was just told to do this. I said, yeah. Now watch this. I walk outside, and the owner of the Harley-Davidson dealerships in New Orleans is standing there with a trailer full of motorcycles. He said, are you Jesse Duplantis? I said, yes, sir. He said, pick one. I said, what'd you say? He said, pick one. I thought he was joking. It was a Screaming Eagle Fat Boy. I said, I take that one right there, that one. With the flames on it, that's one right there. He said, back it off the trailer. He pulls out, he said, I got titles for all of them. I said, what? Wait. I don't even know who you are. He said, you're Jesse Duplantis, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. He said, a man walked into my office, into my dealership Saturday morning at about 10 o'clock. I was in that building at 10 o'clock and said, whatever this man wants, give it to him. Take him a selection of anything you got here. Whatever he picks, I'll pay for it. So I backed that thing off. Boy, I said, you've got to be kidding me. And the Lord said, I heard you say it in the building. I said, Lord, I don't need it. He said, I'm not dealing with need, Jesse. I give you all things to richly enjoy. Things. So before you get mad at me, he said, things. Maybe if you're not enjoying the things God's given you, you're in disobedience. What do you need? So number one, the emphasis is upon the word all in that verse, not a portion. This scripture not only applies God's ability, but his willingness to do it and his obligation to do it. And he only not only supplies the whole need, he supplies the very extent of the need. Now, you think that would be enough, huh? But that's not. See, God's more beyond that. He will give you the desires. Now, but Jesse, don't get crazy with this thing. Well, that's what Jesus said. Turn with me to Psalms 37. Y'all enjoying this?
Yes.
Psalms 37, verse 4. It says, delight thyself, therefore, in the Lord. Or delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the what?
Desire.
The what?
Desire.
The desires of thine heart. He didn't say his heart. He said your heart. He said, now notice this. The only way to get all you need, not a portion of it met, or to get your desires, notice that you have to say, my God. Very personal. Wow, God. But now you're going to another level beyond need. Now it's desires. But how do you get that? Notice this, that the correlation between my God and delight are one and the same. Delight thyself, therefore, in the Lord. What does that mean? Have you ever woke up your pastor? Have you ever come up to him and said, Pastor, could you open the church up a little earlier so I can just pay my tithe? I just want to be blessed to God's kingdom. Any of you pastors ever got that? Why? Are you delighting in God? Are you so delighting not only in God, but in his work? You delight. I enjoy. See, I look for opportunities. Oh, God, let me just, Lord, let me just be a blessing to you today. And he just does. I delight. He gives me the desires of my heart, not his heart. Well, if it be his will. No. You don't want to put that in there. Mark 11, 23. What does it say? If you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. Notice you got to know what, you got to tell your mountain where to go. You tell everybody else where to go. You got to tell that problem where to go. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and not doubt in your heart, not his heart, your heart, believe those things what you say, not he says, you shall have whatsoever you say. Then it says this, what things soever you desire, not God, you, when you pray, believe that you receive, you shall have it. Maybe you ladies would like to have a real Louis Vuitton purse.
Come on now.
A real one. Not one of them knockoffs. Not them kind that they sell you and then they go run around the corner so the cop don't arrest them. I'm talking about a real one. You ever seen that in New York? They'll say, and here come a cop. Gotta go. Wham, just running. Because it's a knockoff. I'm talking about a real Louis Vuitton. Or a real Chanel. Now, and you tell the price of that purse to your husband, you're going to have to raise him from the dead. He's going to pass out. A real one. Oh, but that's greed. Could be growth. Maybe you've got to a point in your life that now God can give you a desire that you don't think you can desire. That you not, I could never have that. But no, he put that in your heart. Something real. And it's got to be a thing. Why do you think God gave you faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of what?
Faith.
The evidence of what?
Faith.
It's your thing. Do what you want to do. You see, he don't mind you having things. Church world does. Secular world just have a flaming fit about that. He said, what thing you, soever you desire. So when you possess God, write this down. When you possess God, you possess all things. Now, let's examine the scope of that promise. When you possess God, you possess all things. Do you know I have to watch what I say because I get it? I'm not bragging. I have to be careful what I say because I will get it. And you must be superior to that power instead of driven by it. You know why politicians and preachers will mess up? They're driven by the power that God has given them instead of being superior to it. I've had some people say, anything that comes in your hand should go to the ministry. The Bible does not say that. Now, I tell you what, almost all everything comes in my hand goes in the ministry. That's not the issue. My point is this, but there are times when the Lord said, I want to bless you. And I said, Lord, I don't need nothing. We ain't talking about need, just say. I give you all things to richly enjoy. You want an example? There was a lady gave Jesus 1 year's salary and a gift called an alabaster box. Go study it out. Any theologian would tell you that that perfume was worth 1 year's salary of the average working man. And the minute you start talking money, the next person going to talk is a Judas. The minute a preacher or any Christian gets a gift, the next voice you hear is Judas. Why was not this sold and given to the poor? Not that he cared for the poor. He wanted that to go to the Jesus of Nazareth Evangelistic Association so he could steal it. What did Jesus say? Shut up! This mine. That was a personal gift to Jesus himself. Shut up! She's prepared this for me. That's mine. Get out of my face. So some of you pastors are freaking out sometimes. You don't have to make no excuse for that. God want to bless you. Maybe he put that desire in you to be blessed. Or some of you Christian people, make no excuses. Like that lady told me not long ago about my house. I said, I think you ought to have that. I said, no, you love my house. You don't like your house. If you had my house, you'd be shouting. That's your problem. You don't like that trash you're living in. That's why you criticizing me. That's not being arrogant, pompous. That's just simply the truth. I mean, you know, I'm not building it for nobody else other than myself. I ain't trying to prove nothing to nobody. Just want to live. Well, we don't think you ought to have it. I don't think I asked you. Now, I don't mean that to sound rude or hard, but excuse me. Have you ever thought that I grew enough for God to give me something like that? Have you ever thought that you grew enough, instead of being greed, it turned into growth, but I could bless you with a Louis Vuitton? And you don't buy a purse, you wear a purse. You buy a purse, son, and you ain't done nothing. But you put that baby on your arm and you wear it. Wait, that's the black style. That's the walk, ain't it? Get a little lean going here. Glory to God. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Kathy, she loves purses. Now, I don't know how many she got. Jesus, we could open up a used purse factory. We got purses, brother. The other day she says, oh, I saw this purse. I just saw this purse. I said, what kind of purse is it? Oh, it's a black and white purse. I've really been wanting it. It's a Chanel. It's a Chanel, yeah. And I said, she said, boy, the thing's expensive. I said, well, if you want it, do you want me to have it? Yeah, that's what I live for. Sure, girl, go get your purse. Now, don't get mad at me if I buy another motorcycle. And she does it. Kathy's always looking for something. Because me, I'm... It's hard for me to get things. I got everything I really want. I have to think about what I want. You know, it has to come in front of my eyes. Oh yeah, you know, whatever. And it don't have to be expensive. It's whatever I want. You know, just whatever. What do you need? What do you desire? So next time, have you ever thought that God put that desire in your heart because you grew enough that He could do that? Without saying, I ain't worthy, Lord, I ain't worthy, Jesus, I ain't worthy. You've been watching Wayne's World instead of God's World. You're in the Wayne's World again, baby. You got to get out of there. What do you need? What do you desire? If you think you're going to break God, why don't you go look at Phil Driscoll's film again, what he's got out there? That's just our solar system, ladies and gentlemen. Do you realize how big the universe is? No, you don't. It's amazing, son. And this is a God. And you think he's concerned that he's going to go flat broke paying your light bill? My Lord. What do you need? What do you desire? Write this down. It is in doing God's will that honor, usefulness, and destiny are accomplished.
You see, I realized I began to get desires and I couldn't figure out. God was honoring me. It was usefulness was coming and destiny was my end. See, I learned years ago that God's direction for you may not always be his destiny for you. And that's where a lot of ministers and people mess up. See, you think God's got you going this way. You understand? All of a sudden you almost get there, but every devil in hell is there to shut you down. And God does an extreme hard right or hard left, and you're over here. But you thought, I thought I was supposed to do this. No, his direction for you is not always his destiny for you. And you have to learn that, see? But when he'll do an extreme hard right, and you wind up being better off than you were when you thought you were going where you were supposed to go. If you let God handle your business, and see, you delight in him. Jesus, just delight in him. Now, me and the Lord have great conversations. We have great rides together. We enjoy each other. How many times I've asked God, what you doing? He said, watching you. There's been times I went in my study to pray, and God said, Jesse, get out of here. I said, what? He said, go rest your brain. Go do something. Ride your motorbike. Do what you want to do. Take out the dinner. Go do something. Oh, okay. See, we know each other enough to talk to each other like that. Now, I respect God. Don't misunderstand me. But he's more than God to me. He's my father. And I really have to watch what I say. Now, I'm going to say something you ain't going to believe, but it's the truth. Do you know me and Kathy give God a Christmas gift on Christmas? And he want to know what it is, but he's telling me he has to wait. Now, I know some of y'all no more believe that than a man in the moon, but that's a fact. I said, don't read my mind, God. You got to respect me on that. But what you going to do? That's going to have to wait. And sometimes he acts like, I said, you've been talking to Kathy. Because see, Kathy wants to open it up on Christmas Eve. See, Kathy wants to open up one every day. She likes them tree gifts, stuff like that, you know. We call it tree gifts and then the big gifts. Tree gifts, you know. Thinking like that. Kathy's still like a child. She'll shake them. Sometimes she unwraps them while I'm gone, looks at it and wraps them back. But she has such a desire. I placed it in her. So she starts guessing. She says, I bought you something. I said, well, great, I'll open it up Christmas Day. Wait, you don't want to open it up now? Yeah, no, I don't want to open it now. Wait for Christmas. Well, why you don't want to open it now? Because if I open it up now, you're going to have to open up everything else. Yes, I'll act surprise Christmas. No, you're going to wait. That's what we bought the tree for. The tree, when all the gifts open, he's out of a job. We take our trees and put them out in the swamps to catch the dirt from the Mississippi River so it can build. It's one of the cheapest things in the world you can do to build land. Just stick it out there. When the water goes through, it collects the dirt, and it keeps building what they call waterlands and things of that nature. You thousands of them, man. They're all over the place. So it's really a good thing. You know, it's called green, I guess you want to call it that. But it does work. See, God give you a desire, and you didn't know where it came from. And you thought it was greed. And people said, that's just greed. You shouldn't want to be having that kind of stuff. When God said, he's old enough to take the persecution of the hundredfold. Give him a desire. Write this down. As you grow up in God, he will furnish your heart with new opportunities to desire. As you grow up in God, he will furnish your heart with new opportunities to desire. What do you need? What do you desire? So it doesn't really make any difference. Because, see, all God wants to do is be a blessing. I heard Brother Copeland say that if God, it wouldn't have been for sin, God would have never had a serious thought. You remember Brother Copeland saying that? And the more I thought about that, meditating, I said, you know, that's really the truth. He created a garden so he could play with us. And, you know, when I play with my granddaughter, as long as she don't do something wrong, it's wonderful. But even when she does something wrong, I just wink at it. I said, she's learning. Oh, yeah. And boy, when she wants something, she'll let you know. She'll let you know real quick. And that's okay. I like that. So we mold those things and things like that. Now, Jody don't let me have her by myself because I'll give her candy and ice cream. She said, Dad, I want a healthy. I said, you ate candy and ice cream. You as healthy as an ox. What's the matter, man? What's wrong? Y'all trying to make this baby suffer? But then we want this. I said, well, can she ride with me? No, you won't put her in a chair. You won't put her in, what do you call them things? Yeah. Yeah, I will. I didn't say how long she'll stay in there. I know you got to observe the laws of the land and all that kind of stuff.
Because I just bless her. I'll take her to the shops with me. I'll walk with her, boy. And sometimes I get that. And you ought to see me. People have said, that just, you will see, I've done things I never thought in my life I'd ever do. I actually in a restaurant, rocking her to sleep. And a waiter said, what do you want? Shut up, man. The baby trying to sleep. Yeah. You want a good tip? Get out of here. Come back after a while. Man, I do all, don't like that? I do all that stuff. Boy, she just wakes up and looks at me. She got black hair, blue eyes. Look like Elvis? Kathy said, no, she looked like Snow White. Okay, Snow White. Forgot about it. Girl, God. Just want to be a blessing. Yeah, it's a desire of my heart. And Jody said, boy, Daddy, you really love. Her name is Meredith Margot Walker. I call her Eminem. You know, Meredith Margot. I say Eminem. I said, Jody, I got back you. I got you back. I got you back. Man, this is amazing to me. Yeah, she said, Daddy, I never thought I could ever love something so much. I said, I've been telling you that for 17, 18 years, but you would not listen. I said, if you listen to me and Mama, this girl could be 15, 16 years old right now. She could be flying with me, but no, no. I see John Copeland, he's got Kelly, Courtney's what, 16, 17 years old? That's a wonderful thing. That would be great. I'd take her with me. We're going, can we go to France? Let's go. I can do that. I'm grandfather. I made an inheritance for Jody and for her. That day that girl hit the ground, ooh, Jesus is she blessed. They don't know what I've done. Ain't none of their business. But I said, girl, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. And I said, Lord, let me live long and I'll teach this child business. I'll teach this child what to do, when to do, where to do it, and how to do it. When the devil hits people with recession, I'll show how to turn it around into a blessing, from a recession to a blessing. Lord, I'm going to put, if they let me do, I'll put this in her. My God, I'll even put it on video. If I go by the way of the grave, she can roll it back and say, Grandpa said this. That's good business. I'm going to teach how to do that. What do you need? What do you desire? Now, let's go to Psalms 34. Now, let's go to the God level. God not only meets some you need, but all of it. And as you grow, he'll put desires in your heart. But you see, he's beyond need or desire. He's at the want level, which is the God level. I mean, he has gold streets. They're not plated gold. Because if you walk them, your feet turn green if they were plated gold. They're solid gold. Psalms 34 says, the young lions do suffer hunger and lack, verse 10. Psalms 34, verse 10. The young lions do suffer hunger and lack. But they that seek the Lord shall not what? Want any good what? My God. Now notice this. My God, relationship. Delight thyself, relationship. Seek my face. That's the interconnecting thing, ladies and gentlemen, to get need and desire and want, that you can pray like the psalmist David, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He did not say I would not want. He said I will never get to the point of would not. I shall not want. And then I think it's in James chapter 1. It says, let patience have its perfect work, that you're perfect and entire. What? Wanting nothing. Now you see, when you get on the want level, that's God's level. This is beyond mathematics to compute. When you're at the want level, this is an ocean with no bottom. This is an ocean with no shore. This is beyond your homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological mind. This is beyond E equals MC squared, beyond our solar system, going beyond all these 100 billion solar systems with 100 billion planets, moons, and stars. This is everything. One of my staff said, Brother Jesse, what's the difference between desires and wants? Aren't they one and the same? No, you see, I desire all motorcycles, but I only want certain ones. See the difference? You may like cars. You may desire any kind of car, but you only want certain ones. Now that I've been in the aviation all these years, I desire all planes. I like all planes. I saw one the other day that looked like a catfish. I don't know what kind of plane to think. I got to know. It looked like a catfish. I said, that thing looked like a catfish. Weird looking thing. But it flies fast. But I want certain ones. Let me say it again. There's a royal abundance in the treasure of his divine grace. This is royal abundance. This is beyond mathematics to compute. Now, we own the God level, see? This is an ocean with no bottom. This is an ocean with no shore. This you will never get it in your intellectual mind. Now, you got to walk this out in your spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? He'll meet not only your need, not a portion, all of it. You'll get to a point where he'll meet all your desires, but then he'll say, come up hither. Come up where I am. What do you want? So I asked him that in prayer one time. What do you want? And he was very emphatic. I want the world. Go get it for me. I said, yes, sir. Now, how did that happen? How does that happen? My God, delight thyself and seek his face. Now, that's more than going to church on a Sunday. Amen. Church time is not throne time. Church time is school time. When you go to church, you're going to learn. When you go to the throne, you're going to listen and shut up. And that's when you and God by yourself, one-on-one, that's throne time. And you may talk about things other than your job or your ministry. You're getting to know each other. But church time is school time. Believers conventions are school time. That's why you're taking notes. You take this and you take it to your homes, to your churches, or wherever you are watching on the internet. And you say, now I'm going to apply this. Because if you don't use application, what'd you come for? Right. It's like going to a doctor and you don't do what he tells you to do. Why'd you go? Right. You see what I'm saying? So what do you want? He said, they that seek the Lord should not want any good thing. So don't get mad at me if I have all my needs met, I have all my desires met, and I'm in the want level. And I'm at the point now, I don't even know what I want. Now, let me say this in close. I realize that as we grow in the Lord, that there are tools that must be brought to the body of Christ, whether they're in aviation, witty inventions, things that we need, the things that are going on today. We must be ahead of what I call the everyday technology. We have to be listening to the voice of God in all things. Because, see, God told me one time, he said, it's more important to hear my voice outside the church than it is to hear it inside. I said, why is that? He said, the wealth of the sinner is not inside, it's outside. He said, so you must be just very, very, you must really be listening to me. And I've had some of the greatest opportunities to be blessed, but because I let my intellectual mind get involved in it, because I thought I could do good business. I had a good friend of mine, prime example is, I'm not a coffee drinker, but he wanted to go to Brooks, had some coffee. So I just went over there, and I think I had some hot chocolate or something. He said, Jesse, you got $1,000? I said, yeah, and I had $1,000 on me in my pocket. I said, yeah. He said, you know, why don't me and you go together on this land? It costs $3,000. He had another friend there. He said, all of us put up $1,000. I just feel like buying this land. Now, he's a lot older than me. You know, he was about 15, 17 years older than me. I said, man, that's some trashy land. That's just junk. That ain't nothing. He said, well, I just thought we could buy it. Just $3,000. You got $5? I said, yeah, I got it in my pocket. He said, well, give it to me. We'll go buy that land. He said, I just feel good about it. I said, you know anything about that land? He said, no, I don't know nothing about it. Just drove by, thought, man, you know. Now, I'm the one that's the preacher that should hear the voice of God. God's speaking to me, man. But stupid me, I'm thinking, hey, this is not a good investment. This is just junk. So I looked at his friend. I said, are you going to get in this? No, man. So we both looked and said, you're going to waste $1,000. He said, well, I'm just going to buy it myself. I said, well, go ahead. He buys it. Hey, 6 to 8 weeks later, the state of Louisiana decided to put a bridge through that land, an overpass. They paid him $3 million. Happy, I would have made a thousandfold on $1,000. Every time I see him, he goes, and the Lord said, I was speaking to you. Why didn't you speak louder? He said, as you grow older in me, my voice gets smaller. It's a still small voice. He said, when you're born again, I got to holler. When you first get born again, hey, you're like a baby. Come here, come here, come here. You got to send a bunch of them. Come here, come here, come here, come here. Every time I see him, that's been years, he goes, I said, shut up. And I have to drive over that thing to go to Kathy's mother's house. I hate it. I just drive over and the Lord goes, nah, 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 nah. Boy, Jesse, listen. Do you know if I'd have done that, that was $100,000 in tithe? that a church missed. And I make a million, I give another $100,000. That's my offering. I still got $800,000 I didn't have before. So that was $200,000 that could have went into the kingdom of God, but I would not get it. And I'd have $800,000. What do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? Remember, God is Jewish. He's very smart. Me and Leroy Thompson, you know, we live about 45 miles from each other. So we get together as often as we can. A lot of times, I went over to his house one time in my pajamas. Oh, yeah. I know Leroy real well. We're good friends. I said, Leroy, I'm coming over. I'm in my pajamas. I'm spending the night. He said, come on. We just enjoy ourselves, man. We just have a time. It's the wildest thing. We just get together, you know. He said, boy, just he said, you know any good business things? I said, well, yeah. I said, I'm looking, man. I'm constantly looking. I said, because the earth is ours, Leroy. It's ours. You don't want to say money coming to me now. I said, the word now is a word that connects time. He went, I'm going to preach that. I said, preach it. That's fine. The word now connects time. It connects it. It pulls it to you. Remember, you are a product of eternity, not a product of time, but you've been put into time. But your eternity is forever. It connects time. When do you want it? Now faith is. That's not greed. That's not arrogance. That's word. Ah, Lord. See, God does not delight, and I close with this, in a sad, starved church, but in one that is joyful and well-fed. So I expect to be blessed even more. It's beyond mathematics to compute. It's an ocean with no bottom. It's an ocean. It's an ocean with no shore. I just expect it. I just expect. Now, I don't walk up to people, which I think is what I call, they're just religious cons. Are you the person that's supposed to bless me? I mean, you know, how many of y'all ever had something like that happen? You know what I'm talking about. No, I'm not going to do that kind of stuff. I don't want to be a blessing, but I do expect to be blessed. And not only just financially, spiritually and physically. I finally have found out, I finally did what Kathy screamed at me for years to do. She said, you need to get yourself checked out. I'm 60 years old. I had a surprise birthday party. I had a wonderful, only birthday party I ever had in my life. And not that Kathy didn't want to give me one. I was always flying somewhere, preaching somewhere. So I said, don't worry about that. And we had birthday parties on some of the motorcycle. Not birthday party. My birthday was on some of the motorcycle track. But this time I had a beautiful birthday party. I mean, just such a blessing. So she says, Jesse, you need to go check yourself out. Well, I'm not a man that's been touched much by a man. So that bothers me. I don't care if it's a doctor, get your hands off me. They always want to look at parts I ain't never seen. They have this, this fetish. They want to look at your butt. I say, come here. God put that in the back. I ain't never seen it. Why should you want to look at it? You know, but it just kind of irritates me. You know, I don't like that stuff. I don't like that. I don't like that. So he says, have you ever had your prostate checked? My what? Your prostate. And then he started asking me very private questions. I said, let me just tell you something, Doc. Everything working, okay? Oh, no, but you got to have this. Have you had a PSA test? No, I don't even know what that is. He said, we're going to take some blood, see if your prostate. He said, I need to check your prostate. I said, where is it? Guess where it's at? Guess where it's at? It's in the back. It's in the back. He said, I want you to lean over. I said, how far? So I'm sitting there going, I lean over. And all of a sudden, man, I went, Moon River. I sang Moon River, happy water to the mile. And the doctor just busts out laughing. I shouldn't tell you this, but I don't mind. You know what that crazy doctor said? Man, your prostate like a young man. Get your hand off of it. Get your hand off of it. He said, you need to do this once a year. I said, your mama. I'm not used to that. But I know you should. I mean, you know, you need to take care of yourself. Check my blood pressure. Check my heart. Went to a heart specialist. Put me on a treadmill. I said, I know how to do this. I do this all the time. Well, then did it and all that kind of stuff. He said, man, I tell you what, man, you can burn this treadmill up. Yeah. I'm going to put a nuclear probe in your body. What? A nuclear probe. Yeah, but you want to see all your circulation around your heart and all that kind of stuff. I said, well, where are you going to put it at? He said, we're going to put it in your hand. I said, oh, that's fine. Just say it's a put it in your hand. So they put this nuclear probe, and I'm in this machine. I got to hold my arms up, boy. And he said, man, look at this. Man, that man had no blockages or nothing. I said, well, that's great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then here comes this girl. She said, now, I'm going to do an electrocardiogram. And I got hair on my chest. Men don't like the hair tore off their bodies. You women are used to that. You just rip it off of your eyebrows, pluck it out. That hurts a man. That hurts a man. I said, you got a razor? We can shave some. Oh, no, it'll be all right. So we do the, oh, everything's fine. Yeah! Jesus, wait, let me do that. Oh, no, oh, don't be top wimp. I ain't a wimp woman. I wanted to grab her by her hair and just shake her. What's the matter with you? So now I got these bald spots on my chest. Rip my hair off. That ain't fun, buddy. Now, Kathy says you got to have a colonoscopy. I said, that's in the back, isn't it? She said, that's in the back. I got caught, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you, I don't mind embarrassing myself. Lord Jesus. I put on these pair of jeans on with no underwear on. I just put them on. I said, come on, we're going to be late. I said, oh, I got to put my jacket. She said, come on. I said, but I got to go on to the doctor. She said, you're just going to have a consultation. I said, all right. I go down there. He said, I want you to go in there and take your underwear off. I said, I don't have no underwear on. I got caught. He said, you a motorcycle rider? Yeah. Yeah. I was so embarrassed. I was mad at Kathy. I thought she said I was going to just talk to him. See, you always go to a doctor with underwear on. Yeah, I like underwear. And I was supposed to go on a motorcycle trip with Kenneth and Gloria and Dennis and Vicky and Happy and Jeannie. And they said, you got to do this colonoscopy. Oh, Jesus. So I go down there and the doctor says, now, this is not going to hurt. I said, ain't your body. How you know? He said, I'm going to give you something. You're going to be awake, but you may not remember it. And you may fall asleep. And he said, so I'm laying like this, you know, and he puts this video screen in front of me. So they start pumping the juice. You can tell when the juice coming. It reminds me of the old days. Whoa, man. Whoa, man. I said, can we get some of this to bring home, man? He said, no. No, you can't do that. Now, I knew I was in trouble. He said, now, I want you to turn on your side. Oh, Jesus. I said, can y'all give me a little more drugs? I think I sang the hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All of a sudden, I kind of come to myself. He said, well, that wasn't bad. I said, no, I guess it wasn't. It's all right. He said, no, I don't want to see you for 10 years. He said, your colon's beautiful. I said, you're really into this, aren't you? So, a colon, how can a colon be beautiful? I have no idea. I don't want to see you for 10 years. He said, now when you go to the bathroom, he tells Kathy, he said, you got to check all this stuff. Because he wanted to look a certain way. So Kathy asked me this today. Have you looked at your... I said, no, I don't look. I don't want to look. Crazy stuff. That's health care. So I told the Lord, what I need, what I desire, what I want, I don't want no more of this. You said I can have my want. I don't want that. Oh, no more of this. So they didn't find a thing wrong. I mean, they checked me from one end to the other, everything you could think of. And it's amazing. And they found spots I didn't even know existed. But I got to talk to Jesus. I talked to every doctor about Jesus. So what do you do for a living? I said, giving. That almost blew. What did you say? I said, giving. Giving. What do you mean giving? I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm a giver. I said, are you a giver? They don't know what to say, you know. I said, do you know you're placing your hands on a holy man? They go. I said, I'm serious. I said, you ever get sick? Yeah. I said, I can get you healed. Won't cost you nothing. One guy said, you trying to get a cut rate? I said, no, I don't need a cut rate. I said, I don't know how much money you make, but I know I make a lot more than you do. I don't mean that privately. I said, man, I gotta pay you more. Gotta pay you more than you can earn. So I got to minister to them, to each one of them. To every one of them. To the, what do you call that guy, the colon specialist, whatever you call him. Ear, nose, and throat, heart specialist, all of them. It was a wonderful thing. And I said, Lord, thank you for giving me health. But I want it all the way to the end. If you tarry, I want it all the way to the end. Or the rapture, either way. I want it all the way. He said, you can have it. It's yours if you want. It's up to you. He said, now take care of yourself. The Lord spoke. He said, take care of yourself. He said, when I tell you to sleep, sleep. I said, you don't want to wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, I know, but I can put 8 hours of sleep in 4. I said, well, do it. No, no. He said, I expect you to take responsibility. I like what Happy said, that the medical care is the responsibility of your doctor and health care is your responsibility. Is that right, Happy? I believe that's how you said that. So what do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? Stand to your feet. Did you enjoy it tonight? Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Now, I know it's a little late. It's 11 minutes to 10. But it's not really late when you think of when you wasn't saved, you just starting to drink right now. Right? Starting to lie to that woman. And you had to go to work the next day. That didn't bother you, did it? Ladies and gentlemen, we should not have need. We really shouldn't have any desire or want. In Genesis 1, did you hear Adam ever say he needed anything? Before the fall, did you notice he did not need anything? Yet God required him to take care of the garden, keep it, dress it. But you notice it hadn't anything to do with need. Every desire was met. Every want was given. Now, you know, the Our Father prayer is probably prayed more than any prayer in the world ever written. And it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? As it is where. Why are we waiting to get to heaven to get these things? Now, I want to tell you something. Coming to a believer's convention will excite you. It'll make you see the Word of God and the truth that it was written. But when you begin to walk this line of truth, of what the Word says, you get ready for persecution. Not only from the heathen, but from the Christian. I'll be dealing with that in the next session. I'm preaching totally different things in the day sessions on that genetically altered Christianity. It answers the questions. Why things hadn't happened the way they should have happened. Hope you don't miss tomorrow's session. Because I'm going to deal with it. But the tradition means, and the last one, the rudiments of the world. They're very simple things, but yet they get complicated when we deal with lofty intellectualism. Now, God wants to help you. Some of you may need salvation tonight. I know many of you need healing tonight. Maybe some of you desire healing. Maybe some of you just flat want healing. Some of you need finance. Some of you desire finance, and you're wondering why, and you think, maybe I'm just greedy. No, God's placing something in your heart because now you're able to. You're old enough to receive that. Then some of you want to walk in the God level, which is called the want level. Well, you will not want any good thing. Because you see, you seek His face. It all has to do with relationship and fellowship. My God. I get more calls from Muslims. Always saying, I wish I could talk to God like you talk to God. And you can. But see, it has to be personal. Yeah. God can never become a religion to you. He must always stay in the realm of a person. Actually, the realm of a father. Yeah. And if you'll do that, when it comes in this life, that doesn't mean the devil won't attack you. But you'll not need anything. Your desires will be given. Your wants, you'll know the difference. You'll grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And you'll be like a big tree that people at the end, the heat of life, they can come under your limbs and receive nourishment, coolness. I ask you to meet my friend Jesus today. In my hotel room, I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'll pray all night long. That's not the issue. I danced all night long. I can pray all night long. Before I was born again, I'd stay out. How many nights I stayed out all night long? And God said, I want the world, Jesse. I want to help people. And I told him this, Lord, let every minister that's believing manifest what he believes. Because you see, a revelation without a manifestation is a missed opportunity, isn't it? Why would God reveal something if he wouldn't manifest it? I understand you in the world that look and think that we're just kind of nuts, even some of you Christians. But when we manifest things, it gets your attention. We should be walking in total manifestation in every area of our lives. A show has been provided for. So with every head bowed, David, if you play me something soft, do you know God or do you know about him? That's what I'm talking about. You may know about him. You may be Baptist tonight or Methodist or Catholic or some other denomination or non-denomination. But do you know God? Have you met God? Could you say, my God? Could you say, I delight in the Lord? Can you say, I seek his face? Or only time you do that is when you're at church and you let your pastor do all those things to teach you. Then you walk away and don't ever say another word that, about God or to God until the next time you're in a church service. And if you're too busy to make the middle of the week, now you're going almost 7-8 days without even talking to the person who's the very source of your life. So with every head bowed, please. If you'd like to know God, ladies and gentlemen, I know God. Instead of just knowing about him, would you give me the honor of going to the throne and say, Lord, here's a person that's in the world, but they want to become your world because you died for them and you love them. You need to get saved. You don't need to become religious. We got enough religion in the world. It hadn't helped nobody. You need to get born again. I used to stop there. That's how I was trained till the Lord arrested my mind. He said, always take it further, because I love further than most people could ever think or love. Maybe you're in this building today and you are struggling with your Christianity. Yeah, temptations are getting the best of you. You love God, but you fight to live for God. And you want that to stop. You need to rededicate your life. That's a wonderful word, but there's something better than that. It's called selling out. Maybe a preacher hurt you. Maybe I hurt you. If I did, I apologize. Would you allow me to go to the throne and say, Lord, here's a man. Here's a woman. They're struggling with their Christianity. But tough times don't last. Tough people do. Lord, if we can get them to understand what you mean by my God, delight and seek, temptations will never be strong enough or big enough to cause you to fall or fail or falter. So with every head bowed, if you'd like to know God instead of knowing about him, or be honest with yourself, you're struggling with your Christianity and you want that to stop, repenting for the same sin over and over, and you need to come back to God in a closer way, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands all over this building. Could I see others quickly? Up in the balcony, I see your hand. Ushers, help me. Yes, if you see a hand I don't see, thank you. I see those hands. People all over this building are making a commitment by the lifting of a hand. Could I see another quickly? Thank you. I see those hands. You may put your hand down. Oh, you're going to know God instead of just knowing about him. You're going to get all your needs, not a portion, all of it met. You're going to have desires you never thought you could desire. And then you'll get to the want level of God. When you get to that point, brother, that's walking as high as you can get. Can I see another hand quickly? Don't miss my Jesus. Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see them all over the building. Could I see one more? Don't miss my friend. This man called Jesus is here. Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, I do. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see your hand way up in the back, up in the balcony back there. I see your hand. Everyone look at me. I would never lie to you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest before the world, because we've been filmed all over television. If this was not real, I would not be here. You know, I've been a black and white person all my life. I don't like gray. I told God, when I got saved, I will live for you. I have kept that promise. That doesn't mean I hadn't made mistakes. I've made mistakes. Don't misunderstand me. But I live for God on a daily basis. I said, I will honor you. I will not drag your name in the mud. I will not trample your blood. I said, but I want to tell you something.
I'm not going out there and spending my life if you don't come with me. You have got to do what you said. He said, I'll always do what I say. But will you always do what you say? You know, he's never broke his promise to me, but I broke my promise to him. I've asked him to forgive me. I'll be honest to everyone watching today. If this was not real, I would not be here. I can do many other things in life. God has been very gracious to me, but I enjoy living for Jesus. You're looking at one man. They all say he's such a funny man. I'm happy, but I'm beyond that. I'm full of joy. Many of you lifted your hand from the top down to the very bottom, even close to the front. I'm going to ask you to do something harder than this, because it took some integrity and character to lift that hand. That was not an easy thing. That was a decision of commitment when you did that. I'm going to ask you to do something harder than that. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some, but everyone, I'm going to ask you to get your Bible or your purse or whatever you brought with you. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat, come stand here right in front of everybody. Well, what's wrong with that? Jesus made a commitment by hanging on a cross in front of everybody. The least you can do is walk forward and say, by my walking forward, I'm making a commitment to who he is. Get out of your seat right now and come quickly. If you're up in the balcony, it'll take you about a minute and a half to 2 minutes to walk down. You have the time. All you have to do is walk forward. Come on, people, give them a hand clap as they come. Come on. Everybody sing that. Come on, everybody sing that with Brother Lynn, if you don't mind. Come on, get out of your seat and come quickly. What do you need? What do you desire? What do you want? Come on, if you're up in that balcony, it'll take you maybe a minute and a half. If you need help, an usher will help you. Come on, people, give them a hand clap. They're still coming.
My blessed Savior, I surrender.
Come on, lift your voice to the Lord as people make decisions and commitments.
I surrender.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I surrender.
Look at the people coming. Come on, somebody shout this building. Come on. One more time, people. Sing with Brother Lynn. People are making decisions here tonight.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
Hallelujah,
Lord. It's still coming from the back to the front of this place.
All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
People are still coming. While they are still coming, you that are watching all over the world, either by Daystar or God TV or Internet, you have an opportunity to meet Jesus and make him Lord of your life. Well, he can meet all your needs. He can handle it. He has the ability to do it, the willingness to do it, and the obligation to do it. All you have to do is pray this prayer with us. Faith destroys all distance between God and you, God and me. Together we'll pray with these wonderful people here in Fort Worth, Texas. And together we'll come into the family of God. If it's a first-time salvation or a selling out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it works, ladies and gentlemen. I gave myself so much to God that even Christian preachers told me I wouldn't save one day. They said, you can't stop drinking that quick. I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I got born again. Not only did I get saved, I was totally delivered of every flesh thing I ever did. I hadn't drank booze or done drugs or chased women. None of that. 1 minute controlled by the devil. The next minute, the next day, completely made free. Been like that since 1974 Labor Day weekend here in the United States of America. I don't struggle being saved. Man, I'm going to ask all of you that have come forward to pray a prayer with us. To repeat it after, as you're watching by television, Internet, I ask you to pray that prayer. I'm going to ask everyone in the audience to repeat it, especially those that haven't come, so your prayer will back them up. They'll be able to lean back. I had a man tell me one time, he said, Brother Jesse, I'm behind you. I said, how far? How far are you behind me? If I lean back, would I fall? Or would you catch me? Let me tell you something. Jesus got you back. He got you back. Are you ready to pray? Let's repeat it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me
of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me back to where I once was. Believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. No longer will I struggle with my Christianity. Temptations are no longer Lord in my life. This day, I sell out to the Most High God. He will meet all my need. He will give my heart to desire. And He will bless me with all I want. I call Him my God. I will delight in Him. And I will seek His face. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand right there. Give Him a hand clap. Wasn't that wonderful? Isn't that a blessing? By you coming forward, sweetheart, just to receive Christ, either in a first-time salvation or rededication, Lord, healing your body, just taking care of your body. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Now, we want to bring you in a room and pray with you 1 minute, maybe at the most two. 1 minute, the most two. What I love about this ministry, they care. They care. Now, a lot of ministries don't care. How many times I've brought people, Kathy's seen it, people like this, and I said, would somebody like to pray with them? No. Send them back. I got, but not Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They give you something. They pray with you. They help you. See, that's am I my brother's keeper? That's what it's all about. My brother, if you do this, you see this man waving his Bible. Everyone turn and look where I'm pointing at. I'm going to ask you to walk toward him. And let us give you something and pray with you personally for 1 minute, maybe at the most two. Start walking this way. Give them a hand clap as they go to receive what they deserve from a God Almighty. Come on, give them a good hand clap. Come on, give them a great hand clap. As those people, maybe your friends and family, they'll be back in just a minute. There are six ladies here tonight that the Lord will remove lumps from your breast. He will do it in your sleep between 2:30 and 4:30. Mark it down. Between 2:30 and 4:30 today, or tonight, actually the next, in the morning. He will remove six lumps from six ladies. Lord spoke that to me so strong. You, and of those six ladies, five of you have had real bad breast cancer in your family, and it's brought great fear in your life. You will be completely delivered from the fear, and when you get up, you will not find a lump at all. There's a man here tonight, you have struggled with pain in your neck for many years. Many years. When you walk out the convention tonight, your neck will pop. You will physically hear it with your ear. The Lord said, I will do an adjustment on him like no other doctor can. It will immediately stop. The burning in your neck will stop. The nerve will go back to where it's supposed to be. And the Lord said, you will never have this problem again. Some of you have prayed for an encounter with God, but you're not ready for that encounter. Some of you want to go in ministry, and yet you won't even go next door and talk to your neighbor about me when I have told you that many times. I will give you a ministry, but you have to at least obey when I tell you to do something. So I ask you once again, go to your neighbor and tell him about me and tell her about me. It's not your job if they receive it or not. It's your job to speak it. And if you'll obey me in the small things of life, I will give you big things to do, and I will do it in a quick and a very fast way. I await your answer on that, saith the Lord. Keep praying with me, people. I know it's late, but there's two men here tonight that have really wanted God to help you financially, but you have not been a giver. How can I give you something when what you have you keep, when I told you to be a sower and not a keeper? If you want those finer things in life, you got to get away from the depression mentality and walk like I walk, saith the Lord. No one has ever been reduced to poverty by liberality. You remember that. And if you do what God has told you to do, great success will be in your house. Yes, and you will learn how to control it instead of it controlling you. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands up and thank Him for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can hear people in the Spirit saying, Lord, tell him something about me. He said, I already know about them. Now, I don't know who this is for, but the Bible said to tell him the baby shall live and not die. The baby shall live and not die. There's a lady who's had four miscarriages here. The Lord's going to give you a dream and show you all your four children. They're going to look between the ages of 3 and 5. You're going to see them in a dream. Oh, Jesus. And it will bring great comfort to you. They await your arrival in heaven. And you will raise your children. You will. Eloshah, he said, tell that lady that's a promise from me. And it's beyond that, it's a prophecy. So you be of good cheer. There's several ladies here that have had endometriosis, and the doctor says you never could. He says, you tell him that what the doctor, by what he sees, is correct. But I will fix your body and heal it. Do not change gynecologists. Do not change them, because they're going to see the change in your body as my servant speaks to you. And they'll say, what have you done? And you will tell them, I received a word from God. And that word was to be fruitful. And you wanted to have those babies, and you could not. Satan wanted to do that to torture you, cause torment in your life. But I will fix your body tonight. And you will be fruitful. Be careful, because when you become fruitful, you'll have a lot more than one. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. That's a blessing. One more thing. It's a pastor's wife here been having pain. And you know what I think about that. The pain has been sent by Satan to hinder what I've told you to do. Now, I don't know what this means. The Lord said, next time you feel the pain, sing. And the singing and the praise that will come out of your mouth will dissolve your pain. And Satan will figure it out. If I put a pain on her, she'll sing the glory down. And the pain will stop, because your singing is stronger than your pain. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody just say, thank you, Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's 10:16. Fort Worth is still up. Just a minute, I'm going to ask Brother Lynn to come. I don't want you to miss the tomorrow's sessions. We want to answer these questions. We want you to leave here saying, somebody says something, I don't know why that happened. I can tell you why it happened. It's time, especially, I believe, these body of believers, that we just answer these questions. And not only answer them with words, but answer them with manifestations. Because that's what they go. They go by what they see. That's what they go by. They can just see it. Well, it's time for us to show them things. in every area, spiritually, physically, and financially. Every area. Every area. I expect blessing in every area. Every area. I will not take, I won't take no for that. I will not. Every area. It's been an honor to be here. You love the Lord Jesus?
Yeah.
Give him a hand clap as Brother Lynn comes.